Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here with you on this wonderful Red Friday. This is one of the most important regular season games that I can remember. For those of you that have not taken a look at the standings, the Chiefs can all but eliminate the Buffalo Bills with the win. If the Chiefs win this game, they will have a 4-game advantage against Buffalo down the stretch. If Buffalo wins this game, then they will be 1 game within Kansas City, and they will have the tiebreaker against the Chiefs. So I don't know if there has been a more important regular season game the last few years for Kansas City than this one in terms of the standings. It is the regular season. Both of these teams are going to make the postseason, but this is the difference in you being able to somewhat coast to the finish line as the one seed or you being in a legitimate race. I said this earlier to Nate Taylor. I'll say it again for the 5 o'clock audience that's just tuning in. I appreciate you guys listening. I think this is the most important Chiefs game since the first time they beat the New England Patriots. You remember in Mahomes' rookie year, I guess first season, however you want to put it, they lost to the Patriots twice. They lost in the regular season. They lost in the AFC Championship game. That next season, late in the year, if you remember, they played once again in Foxborough, and the Chiefs won that game. And I remember the boost that it really had. There was another game that the Chiefs had early on in their career, Rob. It was the Mexico game against the Los Angeles Chargers, where the Chiefs won that game, and it really catapulted that team the second half of the season. I don't think that this game has that kind of importance because the Chiefs are obviously in a very different place. They didn't have a championship in the game that I'm talking about. But when you're looking at the standings and what this game means, what a win would mean and what a loss would mean, I don't know if you can have a more important regular season game than the one that we are talking about. And that's why we can make this the de facto hit number one when we are talking about the field goal kicker for the Kansas City Chiefs and what that looks like. So Harrison Butker in his games against the Buffalo Bills, he is 14 of 16 from field goal range, and he is 20 of 22 from extra point. So he is as close to being automatic that you can be. My number one question about the Chiefs' offense in this game is going to be, how aggressive are they going to be, and what does that look like? The Chiefs, I would say, are kind of conservative in a lot of ways, where if it's the second quarter and they have a 4th and 2, or they could kick a 49-yard field goal or a 51-yard field goal, the Chiefs usually take the points in those scenarios. Are they going to be more aggressive with trying to score touchdowns in this game and not leave it up to a new kicker? And Nate Taylor mentioned this point. If the Schrader kid misses a kick early in the game, do they give him another opportunity? If he misses an extra point in this game, do they give him another opportunity? Just because you were the Chiefs kicker this week does not mean you will be the Chiefs kicker next week. You remember the last time Harrison Butker was injured, and Rob, they had multiple people kick for this team. So maybe Schrader comes in here and this is not an issue. You do not notice a difference, and Schrader goes out there and he is incredible. This is as important of an audition that you could potentially have. There is no scenario in which this kid is the full-time kicker for the Kansas City Chiefs. Harrison Butker is their kicker. They just gave him a raise. He is going to be their kicker for the next 2 or 3 seasons. But if you're Schrader and you perform really well in these next few weeks, This is the difference in you being in the NFL next season and not being in the NFL. This is the difference in you making $500,000 next year or you having a regular 9-to-5. So you want to talk about the pressure. And this is not Arizona like you kicked last year where, or last week where you made 2 field goals and had a couple of extra points and your team got beat 31-6. This team is going to need to kick an important field goal at some point in Sunday's game. Do they make it? Do they miss it? Are they aggressive? Do they give him the opportunity? I think that's one of the big storylines from this game. Rob, there's a lot to get into. We'll play some audio for you guys. If you missed anything, check out the podcast page. We had Steve Tasker on the show earlier. We had Trent McDuffie on the show earlier. Danny was on the show earlier this week. So if you've missed anything, be sure to check out the podcast page. All right, Rob, let's get through the hits here and we'll bounce back and forth between, I guess, Sunday's game.
Your workday is over.
Oh, yeah.
You're headed home, and now you're stuck in traffic. Time to get caught up on the biggest stories in Kansas City and around the country with CDOT and Rob. It's time for the hits. Number one.
Carrington, as always, the hits are brought to you by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu.
Shout out to Baker University.
Shout out to Baker University. Carrington, we talked about this earlier on the show with Nate Taylor. Looking at this massive matchup between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Buffalo Bills, it is, what, the 8th time Allen and Mahomes have matched up, but considering it's basically a 3-game swing, if the Chiefs win, they can all but lock up the 1 seed. Is this game far more important to Buffalo than the hometown Kansas City Chiefs?
Yeah, absolutely. The Chiefs still have a lead if they lose this game. They just have lost the tiebreaker. You can still just play better than Buffalo down the stretch, and the tiebreaker doesn't even come to factor. So this game is certainly more important for Buffalo than it is for Kansas City. They're the home team. They're the favorite in this game. They're maybe the healthier team. You could certainly make an argument for either side, at least in that conversation. This game is certainly more of a, this game is more important for the challenger than it is for the, or I guess the challenger than the champion.
Number two.
Carrington, you laid out the scenario earlier today. You can catch the entire scenario on the podcast page, but let's do it real quick here. What would you rather see happen as a Chiefs fan on Sunday? Would you rather the Chiefs be down 4 with the ball in their hands and 2-plus minutes to go, or would you rather be up 4 but your defense takes the field trying to stop Josh Allen? Historically speaking, people would say Patrick Mahomes, but this defense.
You know what? Fade the music down and let's have this as a more prolonged discussion. So the scenario that we put out there earlier was, it is 2 minutes left in the game. A touchback has just happened. The ball is at the 25-yard line. Do you feel more confident and comfortable with the defense taking the field and they are up 4 trying to preserve the lead, or the offense taking the field and they are down 4 trying to go down the field, score a touchdown to go win the game? I picked the defense for this reason. I think the defense has been the better of the two units for the last year, year and a half. I think the defense has been the more consistent of the two units. I think the defense has pulled the offense out of the fire far more frequently than we have seen the offense pull this team out of the fire. Neither side has been perfect, and I think you feel really good on both sides. If you're taking Mahomes, it's definitely not the wrong answer. If you're taking the defense and the lead, I don't think that's the wrong answer either. To me, this is much more of a confidence thing, and I would say it really goes to show you the evolution with the Chiefs. The fact that this is a conversation, the fact that this is a discussion, goes to show you how much, how improved their defense has been over the last 18 months and where people's confidence and hope is in this team. That you've had scenarios where the offense has a turnover or something happens and the defense takes a field, gets a stop, gives the ball right back to the offense and gives them another opportunity. So Rob, if you were asking me which one of those two I would take, give me the lead, and I trust that Kansas City's defense is not going to allow Buffalo to go down the field in 2 minutes and score a touchdown. I'll take the defense.
Can I play devil's advocate for a minute?
Yeah,
because it's not one for one. It's not the exact situation. But didn't we see a similar situation play out last week with the Chiefs? They had a chance with a defense on the field to go win the football game. Hey, get Bo Nix and his 38-year-old body off the field. Now, I know Harrison Butker, who we now know has been dealing with a torn meniscus or a meniscus that needed some trimming, kicked the ball out of bounds, and they basically had 20 yards to defend.
Yeah,
but the Broncos got all the way to the, 15-yard line? It was a 34-yard field goal they were lining up. It wasn't like Will Lutz was blocked on a 58-yarder and the defense just gave up two first downs and bad luck happened. They gave up a little bit of a drive. They were not able to bow their neck and stop the Broncos. They also, in the Super Bowl, a similar moment, they were like, you had a chance to go win the game against the Niners. They went down the field and kicked a field goal. The Ravens, I know that he's out by a toenail, to quote Mitch Holtis, but they were up by 7, and they gave the ball to Lamar Jackson and co. with 2 minutes to go and a chance to win the game, and Lamar Jackson is a toenail away from tying or potentially taking the lead. The Bucs game, another scenario where defense up by 7, 2-plus minutes to go, hey, go win us a game, defense, and they came up short those times. I understand the defense is a top-5 unit, but under the pressure cooker of the scenario you created, I can point to times they failed to rise to the occasion in that moment.
This is where I think it's a little bit unfair, and I think it's skewed against the defense, because last week the Chiefs had an opportunity to make that a touchdown game, and their offense had the ball first and goal from the 5-yard line, and they kicked a 20-yard field goal last week too. So they have had opportunities to kind of put the nail in the coffin and not put the defense in that scenario. I mean, just think about a 30-second stretch there. The Chiefs kick a 20-yard field goal, and then the Chiefs put the ball on the 40-yard line on the other side. So a lot of times I think the offense has put the defense in a couple of bad spots. We can kind of find examples on both of these. I just think it's a very interesting question, because the fact that I think people would now consider taking the defense really goes to show you how this defense has evolved and where your confidence level lies. If you were telling me you have as much confidence in the Chiefs defense to help you win as Patrick Mahomes to help you win, it goes to show you that the Chiefs defense has not just evolved to the point where they are good and you trust them. In my opinion, they are the best defense in the National Football League.
That's fair. I agree with that. I am cherry picking the Broncos game, but there were other moments. The Bucs game 2 weeks ago, they had Baker Mayfield has.
No,
had
we didn't
me,
have any weapons.
He had me, you, and Nate Taylor running routes for him. There was people I didn't even know were in the NFL. Hey, shout out to Trey Palmer. Congrats on making the league, buddy. No idea. And they went right down the field. And if Todd Bowles knew how to coach a football game, they may have actually won that game. And then the offense, with a win or go home, score a touchdown, and you win scenario. Now there's no clock. Went down the field and got 7 to win the game. Like, it. They have folded at least, let's call it 1.5 times, the last times they've seen this scenario.
Number 3.
Carrington, in a matchup of this magnitude, it's more than just the stars that need to be stars. The analogy this show loves to use is a basketball one. Who's going to be that role player, that sixth man, that guy to step up and make a play when needed? I'm not talking about Mahomes. I'm not talking about Allen or Kelsey or those types. Carrington, tell me your X-Factor player for the Chiefs and Bills on Sunday.
You know what? I am going to take Xavier Worthy to be that player that we're talking about. Now, I know that he is in a little bit of a lull with this team. I get that. But if you go back to the last game, and you mentioned it, Rob, the last time that these two teams played each other, MVS had 2 catches for 62 yards. He was a nice X factor in the game. I think they're going to need one of those kind of players. And I would say for maybe the first time this season, they are going to use Xavier Worthy in the role that he was supposed to be. Nate Taylor believes that Juju is going to be back. So you were telling me that they are going to have Xavier Worthy be their 4th or 5th offensive option, because obviously he's behind Kareem Hunt, who's going to get 15 to 20 touches in this game. You're behind DeAndre Hopkins. You're behind Travis Kelce. Juju was coming back. So now he gets to be a role player for the first time, and you're not expecting him to get 8-7 targets in a game. I love that spot for Xavier Worthy. I've made the analogy to a baseball player. I am not worried about his batting average. How many home runs do you hit? This feels like a game in which he could hit a home run. They have been so close the last couple of weeks. He should have had a big pass play in the Buccaneers game, but he stepped out of bounds. It was Patrick Mahomes' fault that he didn't have a big pass completion last week where he was down the field wide open. If Patrick at least puts the ball in play, I think Xavier Worthy scores a touchdown and they can put that game out of reach. They've missed a couple of those connections. I'm going to trust in this game that they do a little bit better, that he's going to make do on a couple of those shots that he's going to have. So if you're asking me to pick out of their secondary wide receiver. So not D-Hop, not Kelsey, not Juju. Who is in line to get 40 yards? You know what? I'm going to take a flyer on Xavier Worthy to be an X-factor. I also like Mecole Hardman. He is really locked in on what his role is. So I could see in a game like this, we're going to go with the guys that we know and the guys that have had success in these kind of games. So we're going to give Mecole Hardman his 3 to 5 kind of screen plays, gadget plays, end around plays, the plays that I think could go to Xavier Worthy. And we also know that he's going to be there for them in special teams. So I think that kind of gadget player could be really useful in this game. Give me Xavier Worthy 1. I'll take Mecole Hardman 2.
I like Noah Gray. And I know you and Nate are on the same page with Xavier Worthy. And I get it. And Nate Taylor basically was explaining that this is kind of the, is it the circle of trust game? Yes or no. But man, it just seems like when in doubt, Mahomes trusts his guys. That's Hopkins. That's Kelsey. Weirdly, that's Justin Watson. It doesn't feel like if you're on the periphery of the circle of trust, for a big word, that he goes to you. So unless Andy Reid's able to scheme up Xavier Worthy, I don't think it's him. I think it's going to be a guy Patrick Mahomes trusts. And Noah Gray has become that guy. Noah Gray has become a chain mover when you need. There's going to be a big 3rd and 9 on Sunday. There is. That's just how the football world works. And you know what? The Bills are going to make sure Hopkins and Kelsey don't beat him on that play. You know who I think is going to make a play? Noah Gray. And if you want to tell me, hey, it's semantics, that's not what an X-Factor is, a guy who just makes a play, fine. But I think when we talk about the game on Monday, if the Chiefs win, we're not talking about Noah Gray going off, but we are talking about Noah Gray made a couple chain-moving plays that changed the game and kept the Bills' defense on the field on back-breaking third downs. That's why I believe Noah Gray is the guy.
I want to play a couple pieces of audio for you guys because this is the thought that I have been having over the past 2 days. So I told you guys yesterday what my two keys were to this game. For the Chiefs, it's just simply do your formula. In their last handful of wins, they have had a clear formula. It is give the ball to Kareem Hunt, find Travis Kelce over the middle of the field, trust DeAndre Hopkins, play good defense. Patrick, don't turn the football over. They have been excellent with that formula. So go to Buffalo and be the Kansas City Chiefs. That's what you did last season when you won in Buffalo. Replicate that formula. I think you win for Buffalo. You are going to have a chance to get the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm not saying the Chiefs will win or lose this game, but I'm saying is we have watched enough games to know that other teams have had Kansas City on the ropes and they have been unable to land the knockout blow. Buffalo is going to have an opportunity in this game late in the fourth quarter. It's going to be 17-14 and Josh Allen has the football. It's going to be 21-21 heading into the fourth quarter. Buffalo has the ball. They got to get a stop. Buffalo is going to have a chance. The Chiefs just play all of these games close, but the Chiefs usually out-execute you down the stretch. So we looked this up. The last 4 times that these two teams have played each other, Kansas City has scored 106 points. Buffalo has scored 104 points. These two teams are very, very even in a lot of ways. These two teams are built very similar right now. Quarterback does a lot. You can run the football effectively. These two organizations have invested heavily in tight ends, a little bit left to be desired on the outside when talking about the wide receivers. 2 good defenses, 2 great coaches. These two teams are a mirror image of each other in a lot of different ways. What has separated these two teams and why Kansas City is 3-0 against this team in the postseason is Kansas City very rarely makes the critical mistake that does them in. They usually force you to make the critical mistake, and when you give the Chiefs just a little bit, they beat you. But in these regular season games, it's been Kansas City that's made a critical mistake. Last year, Kansas City was going to beat Buffalo in the regular season. The only reason why they had to go on the road last year in the postseason was because of this.
Selling out, flag on the play, might be a free one. They've got Kelsey at the 30, Kelsey 25, angling back, 20. Now he's going to lateral it back at the 15-yard line. It's Tony, 10, 5, touchdown, Kansas City. They mess around in practice with this all the time. It's going to go with a 49-yard touchdown. Kelsey, the old University of Cincinnati
offside
quarterback.
Number 19, offense, lined up in the neutral zone. 5-yard penalty. Check it out.
My number one question for both teams, who can avoid the mistake? And usually the team that has made that mistake in the final 5 minutes of the game, they've been the one that lost. Whether it was Kansas City going down the field in 13 seconds and kicking the field goal near the end of regulation to send it to overtime, whether it was Kadarius Toney who was offsides in the last regular season matchup, whether it was Buffalo's final offensive drive the last time that these two teams played each other where Diggs misses a big pass play down the field, Buffalo overcomes that to go down the field. They had first and 10 from the Kansas City 27-yard line. They got one more yard after that. And then they kicked a field goal. It didn't go well.
1:47 to go in the game on fourth down and 9 for the Buffalo. Placement down. Bass's kick is up, and the kick is no good. A little prophecy. Tyler Bass has struggled, and he just misses the kick.
Kansas City will next snap with a 34-yard.
And the Chiefs will take over at the point of the missed kick. Their own 34-yard line as Tyler Bass misses this wide to the right.
Who's going to avoid the mistake in this game? I don't have to tell you that this game is going to be close. It is going to be very close. That's all the Chiefs know is close games. The Chiefs have been the team that have been able to avoid the mistake, and they've also been the team that has forced you to make the mistake. The Chiefs did not get lucky last week. The Chiefs schemed, saw something on film, and they exploited it at the end of the game to go win. That is what great teams do. Great teams figure out what your weakness is, and they take advantage of that weakness to beat you later in the game. This is the number one rivalry in the National Football League. We'll talk more about it coming up after the break, but there are so many similarities, I think, between Josh Allen's career and early Peyton Manning. Josh Allen is an incredible quarterback. For my money, he is the second best quarterback in the league. But there is a pretty wide gap between where Patrick Mahomes is and where Josh Allen is. That is not based off how we feel about these quarterbacks in the regular season. It is, we have seen Patrick Mahomes time and time again be able to overcome and prevail in the postseason and win, and that is not where Josh Allen is right now. Now, this one win is not going to change that conversation, but it gives Buffalo another chance to host the AFC Championship game or the second round against Kansas City and give yourself a slight advantage in that way. Is Buffalo going to take advantage of that? Vegas believes that Buffalo is the better team. I think you can argue either side here. You can argue Buffalo. You can argue Kansas City. These are two very evenly matched teams. Who is going to stick to their formula? Who's going to run the football effectively? Who is going to avoid the mistake? Who's going to win the turnover margin and differential? That is going to be the difference in who wins this game. Coming up on the other side, Rob, let's talk a little bit more about the quarterback matchup between these two teams and where we sit with those two guys in the pecking order. That's coming up. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. On your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
If you guys want another sign that you are old, Carmelo Anthony's kid today committed to go play basketball at Syracuse. I remember when Carmelo Anthony was at Syracuse. I feel like I can't remember. Didn't they make it? They won the championship, right? Who'd they play, Rob, in the championship? I can't remember who they played. I know Carmelo had it was an exciting freshman year. They played Texas, I think, in the national. I can't remember who they played.
They beat Kansas.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure.
That's not fair. The free throw line beat Kansas that day.
Oh, okay.
The free throw line was really just stifling the Jayhawks offense.
To be fair, though, the free throw line took one championship away from you. It also gave you another championship. See the way that things even out? Ball don't lie. You guys won a championship in 08 because of the free throw line. Funny how that works. I do want to talk about Josh Allen. I want to play something for you, though, before we do that. So we had Nate Taylor on the show earlier. Nate has been at the forefront of this thing. He really has been at the forefront of this. He said that he believes that Donovan Smith is on standby, just waiting to be tagged in. Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play. So we had Nate Taylor on the show earlier, and I asked him, if Wanya Morris is out with an ankle injury after the first quarter of the game, what are the Chiefs going to do at left tackle? Listen to what Nate said.
They will move Joe Tooney to left tackle. And then the question becomes, is Mike Caliendo, who has limited experience and is a veteran, but he's no Nick Allegretti, can Caliendo be serviceable at the left guard spot?
So that was Nate Taylor earlier today. Now, I do not think that it is a surprise that the game this season that the Chiefs scored the fewest amount of points, they didn't have their normal starting left tackle. And they also ran the ball as poorly as they have all season. The Chiefs called 16 run plays on Sunday. They ran for 38 yards. It was the least effective Kareem Hunt we have seen at least running the ball. He was their leading receiver, but they couldn't really get the run game going. Rob, you and I both believe that a key to this game on both sides, Kareem Hunt and James Cook, also Josh Allen because he's so critical with everything they do in the run game, that's interesting to me that if that happens, and knock on wood, you hope that it doesn't happen, but right now their backup left tackle is not Kingsley Suamataia. It sounds to me like the Chiefs have removed Kingsley from the Chiefs' circle of trust. It seems to me like they have voted Kingsley off the island. If that's where you are, then I just don't know why you haven't made the phone call to Donovan Smith. If you don't trust Kingsley enough to go in case of an injury, then he is not your backup left tackle. Then you need to go make a move. You need to put yourself in a position that you have that player. I will continue to bang this drum. Go get Donovan Smith. It makes the most sense. It is not a great option. We're talking about we are heading into Thanksgiving and you're trying to find your left tackle, but I think it could be the best decision that you could make in a pinch if something happens. You just got to protect yourself from attrition. I shouldn't have to tell the Chiefs the value of feeling secure at backup left tackle or right tackle, so I continue hope that they go out and they get Donovan Smith. Let's talk a little bit about Josh Allen. Josh Allen's story to me is not really that much different than so many other superstars. His story is not that much different than early Michael Jordan. His story is not that different than Steph Curry, not that different than Kevin Durant, not that different than Steve Young. Like, we can find a lot of players that they had to bump their head on a ceiling a couple of times and eventually they had to break through. We were talking about Josh Allen earlier, and a couple of people made the point that they think that Josh Allen is going to be Phillip Rivers. And that is perfectly fine if you feel that way about Josh Allen. He's not going to win a ring. He's not going to win a championship. He's going to put up a lot of numbers, and they're not going to lead anywhere. You're perfectly within your right to feel that way. This would be my question if that's how you feel about Josh Allen. Who's the Drew Brees of his generation then? Who's the Ben Roethlisberger of this generation? Who's the Eli Manning for this generation? Who's the Russell Wilson for this generation? We have established who the Tom Brady is. Tom Brady is your quarterback, Patrick Mahomes. But there were other superstar quarterbacks during that time frame that eventually could break through. I don't know when Josh Allen breaks through. Could be this year, could be next year, could be 3 years from now. I don't know. But I do know that Josh Allen is talented enough that I do think at some point they get to the Super Bowl, and at some point I think he wins a Super Bowl. And this is basically the path that Peyton Manning had. Peyton Manning lost his first six games against the New England Patriots. You want to know the first time that he beat Tom Brady? It was in the AFC Championship game to go to the Super Bowl. So I think at some point Josh Allen's going to break through. He just does so many different things. He's one of the best passers in the league. He's one of the best short yardage backs in the league. He has really done a good job in kind of limiting some of the turnovers. He only has four interceptions this year, only has two lost fumbles. He has been better at protecting the football, and I think they are starting to build their team a little bit differently to give him a little bit more support and kind of help him grow. This is a really important game for him because the worst thing that could happen to the NFL, this is the absolute worst thing that could happen, is you start to let the Chiefs coast the final month of the season and really start to get guys healthy. You are not catching Kansas City if that's the case. If you're telling me that the final three, four games of the season, that the Chiefs basically have everything wrapped, and right now their number one focus is just making sure that everybody gets to the finish line, you can really start to get conservative with Travis Kelce, get conservative with DeAndre Hopkins, where you are simply playing out the string to get guys ready for the postseason. You are not beating Kansas City if that's the case. You do not have a chance. We saw what happened last year. When you gave Travis Kelce 1 week off last year, he turned into a superhero for the final four games of the season. That is the worst thing that you can do. So that's why I talk about this game and how important it is in the standings. This is the difference in Kansas City being able to lap the field or really be in a fight down the stretch. Because you would then be in a fight with Buffalo. They would have the tiebreaker against you. You would be in a fight against Pittsburgh. You go on the road and play Pittsburgh on Christmas Day. This is the most important regular season game from a standing standpoint that Patrick Mahomes has ever played. This is the difference in you being able to coast in the final three games of the season because you have so much of a lead and you cannot be passed. This is going to be a legitimate race if the Chiefs lose on Sunday to the Buffalo Bills. So we obviously will see what will happen, but I cannot stress enough how important this one individual game is for each one of these teams and what it could mean for the second half of the season. So maybe you guys heard this yesterday. I want to play it again because the audio is just, it is some of the most incredible pieces of audio that I've heard so far this year. Later today, many of you are going to watch it. Mike Tyson is going to fight Jake Paul on Netflix. And boy, let me tell you, they have been selling that fight. I don't know whose idea it was for the fake stage slap that they did yesterday, but I'm telling you, they knew that was going to get everywhere. That thing was on Good Morning America. It was on the Today Show. Every television show in the country was showing the slap between Mike Tyson and Jake Paul. It was incredible marketing. It did more than anything, those two individuals. This fight is wrapped around one concept. Does Mike Tyson have enough magic in his gloves to land one clean, great shot against Jake Paul? Nobody wants Jake Paul to win. You want to see Mike win, but it is a real interesting debate. Are you going to take the inexperienced under 30-year-old? Are you going to take the very experienced former power puncher in Mike Tyson? This fight is really interesting. Is this one of the greatest? Is this Mayweather Pacquiao? No. Is this Hearns and Hagler? Is this Ali and Frazier? No. You know what this is? A television show on Netflix. This is House of Cards. This is Orange is the New Black. This is Ozark. So I don't care who wins. I don't care who loses this fight. You know what I want to do? I want to sit down in front of the television and be entertained. And this individual, he's entertaining.
Well, in your return to the ring for this fight, you are setting a monumental opportunity for kids my age to see the legend, Mike Tyson, in the ring for the first time. So after such a successful career, what type of legacy would you like to leave behind when it's all said and done?
Man, I don't know. I don't believe in the word legacy. I just think that's another word for ego. Legacy doesn't mean nothing. That's just some word everybody grabbed onto. Someone said that word and everyone grabbed on the word, so now it's used every 5 seconds. It means absolutely nothing to me. I'm just passing through. I'm going to die and it's going to be over. Who cares about legacy after that? What a big ego. So I'm going to die. I want people to think that I'm this. I'm great. No, we're nothing. We're just dead. We're dust. We're absolutely nothing. Our legacy is nothing.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that.
She didn't know how to respond. She had absolutely no clue how to respond to that. I would have been in that same place, too. That was Mike Tyson joining us on the show to promote the fight on Netflix. Be sure to check it out. She handled that situation like a seasoned veteran. I did take Jake Paul tonight. I bet on him to win on the scorecards. It was plus 260. Mike Tyson's not winning this fight. Let's get back to Chiefs and Bills next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
This man was a bona fide scrub.
On 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
For the final segment of the show, we usually would go through the other games. I don't want to talk to you guys about the other games because you don't care about the other games. You only care about your Chiefs, and that makes sense. They are in the biggest game this week in the National Football League. We had on Steve Tasker. He is the Dane and Hughes of the Bills Radio Network. He is in the Bills Hall of Fame. He is a legend out there. We had him on the show earlier today. We started our interview with him asking, how is Buffalo different than the last time that these two teams played one another?
Well, at the beginning of this year, after the playoffs ended last year, there was only one guy left on the roster that had ever caught a pass from Josh Allen in a game. That's Khalil Shakir. Now they do have Dalton Kincaid, who's probably going to be out this game. They made the trade for Amari Cooper, which is a lot like the DeAndre Hopkins trade for the Kansas City Chiefs, although they have not been able to get him on the field because of an injury. All of that stuff is in the mix. Both these clubs have different faces around these two quarterbacks, but the two constants are Pat Mahomes and Josh Allen, and really everything builds off of their abilities. And even on the other side of the ball, the defenses, you know, take their cue from what these quarterbacks do. I think this is a game between the two quarterbacks and whichever defense can make a play. I mean, I don't even know if it comes down to whether you can stop the run or sack the quarterback. It's about a play in the right moment. You just know both these offenses are going to make enough plays to keep it close. And if it does come down to a play on the defensive side, it's going to be a splash play, a tipped interception or a sack or a turnover. It's just going to be one of those games. This rivalry is about the two guys taking snaps and everybody else fills in around them. And I think the skill positions for both these clubs and the differences that are present this year rather than last year is a testament to that.
I know you guys haven't got a chance to see a whole lot of Amari Cooper. He played in the first game. He had four catches for 66 yards and scored a touchdown. And then he had an injury. Where does he stand for Sunday's game? What can you expect from Amari Cooper on Sunday?
I think he's a game-time decision. He's been questionable all week. He's been limited in practice. It's a wrist injury, so it does affect him catching the ball. And one of the criticisms he's gotten, in fact, people were kind of nervously chuckling that the first target he got as a Bill, he dropped right in his chest. So, you know, and with a wrist injury, which is what this is, it kind of makes how effective can he be. They have missed his presence out there, and certainly the absence of Keon Coleman is a huge loss for this club. Coleman was really beginning to ascend as a weapon in this offense, and now with the wrist injury to him as well, his presence has really been missed. So with Khalil Shakir, Dawson Knox, James Cook, Ray Davis, the two running backs, that's kind of changed the personality of this offense. Now, having said that, in the last couple of weeks, with those guys at those spots, their third down conversion rate has skyrocketed from where it was early in the year. They had been very good on third down in years past. This year, not so much. But now they're starting to find it, and they're starting to become more Chiefs-like in their ability to stay on the field, and that has helped.
Right now we're talking to Steve Tasker, who covers the Buffalo Bills. Let's keep it with the injury theme. No Dalton Kincaid in this game. I really like Kincaid. He's proven to be one of the better young tight ends in the league. What does it mean for Buffalo to not have him? And is this injury maybe softened by the fact that you do have a capable backup tight end in Dawson Knox, who has really matched up well against Kansas City?
Yeah, I think it more than the production, certainly Dawson Knox can play extremely well and sign an extension, and they love having him out there. I think more than anything else, it will affect the personnel packages that the Bills want to use in this game. Without Dalton Kincaid, you're not going to go as much to tight end. You know, you're not going to go like that. So, and without Cooper or Coleman, it kind of curtails your ability to go three wide. So that's really the question. What personnel grouping are the Bills going to lean on the most, even when they throw the football as well as run it? That's the question. I don't know that there's going to be an answer until the game's over, or at least that it's begun.
Steve, from a defensive perspective, how do you feel Buffalo lines up against Kansas City? In the seven games that these two teams have played against each other, Buffalo is giving up 27.1 points per game. This is one of the better defenses in the league, but I feel like they usually have a tough time stopping Kansas City in these matchups.
Yeah, I'll say the thing about the Bills defense, that early on in this rivalry, Leslie Frazier was the defensive coordinator, and the Bills' defense was very solid, very hard to move the football on. They were top three or four in the league in the rankings of all the yardage, yards per play, yards passing, yards rushing. But they were never spectacular under Leslie Frazier. They never made splash plays, got the big sack, got the big turnover. Then when Sean McDermott took over last year, that started to be the case. And now with Bob Babbage as their defensive coordinator, that has continued to be the case. They're getting a little healthier up front. They got some help from Quentin Jefferson and Jordan Phillips being signed back onto the squad. That gives them some big bodies down inside. Dwayne Carter has gotten injured, the rookie, and he has not been able to play. But Daquan Jones is still there. Ed Oliver is still there. And this defense has been a really good defense at churning turnovers. That has been the real hallmark of this club. Their secondary has played really well and really sniffed out some balls that really you didn't think they would. Been unexpectedly a really good playmaking defense. So while their rankings and stats haven't been spectacular, they are a big part of why Buffalo is tied for the league lead in turnover differential.
Steve, you mentioned that this game has a playoff feel and a playoff atmosphere. I don't know if it's really possible to have a regular season game that has more importance than this one. We're talking about if Kansas City wins this game, they will have a 4-game advantage over Buffalo. If the Chiefs lose this game, they will have a 1-game advantage. Like, I don't know if you see too many regular season games, certainly not at this point in the season, that have that much bearing on who could potentially host the AFC Championship game.
Yeah, it's big. Certainly both these teams have run off and left their division rivals. The division on the AFC East is certainly not going to be won by anybody but the Buffalo Bills this year. Of course, the West is the exact same for Kansas City. This is all about the seed, the playoff seeding. And in a perfect world for both clubs, which of them are going to host the AFC Championship game against the other? That's really what this game is about. I think Bills fans up here are probably a little bit relieved that the Chiefs blocked that field goal last week against the Broncos. You don't really want to catch the Chiefs coming off a loss like that. The added pressure of kind of trying to, even though they'll say, well, it's just an extra thing going undefeated, that's still out there, and it adds a little bit of something to the Chiefs' plate that they got to think about while they're going through all of this. Certainly going for their third straight Super Bowl is out there for them. So I think the Bills are really – you're right. This game is big. And like I said earlier, I think most people out there think this is the last best chance for somebody to really beat the Chiefs. They've got a good schedule going forward. There's a couple of teams that might be a bump in the road, but once they start, get past this game, there's no question. It's just a – you know, everybody's just watching the hourglass tick until the playoffs can start and everybody has to go through Kansas City to get to the Super Bowl.
Steve, last question here. Give me a Chiefs key to victory. Give me a Bills key to victory in your mind.
Well, Chiefs key to victory is obviously being efficient on their drive. They got to finish drives with touchdowns. They can't settle for field goals here in Buffalo, particularly with a new field goal kicker who's a question mark. Punch it in the end zone. They've been very good on third down. That's going to be the key. Just remain good on third down. Stay on the field and finish drives. And for Buffalo, I think defensively they've got to find a way to get their hands on the ball defensively and give Buffalo a couple of extra possessions. If they can do that, that'll give Josh Allen and a depleted skill group a chance to keep up with this Chiefs offense. But either way it goes, I still think this is coming down to the final possession.
Looking forward to a great Sunday. Take care of yourself. I'll catch you guys on Monday. I'll let Daniel Craig take you home.
Ladies and gentlemen, the week. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.